Hello and welcome to The State of Shakespeare. I'm Garrett Vandermeer.
And I'm Jim Elliott.
And today on the program, we're joined by Neil Freeman, who is a writer-director responsible for Nightmare Dream, which is premiering at this season's New York Fringe Festival. Welcome, Neil.
Thanks, guys. I'm really excited about what you're doing. I'm really excited to talk to you.
Well, we're excited to have you here, too. You know, Shakespeare is making a great impression at this year's festival with shows like Double Heart and Old Familiar Faces getting great advance notices. But you caught our eye because you're directing something entirely different. Can you tell us about the inspiration for Nightmare Dream?
Absolutely. Some years ago, I had the idea to do a production of A Midsummer Night's Dream set in kind of a gothic horror landscape. And the idea was to give kind of a playful nod to the idea that the Elizabethans used the word fairy, you know, in a slightly more sinister way than I think we're accustomed to. They were actually afraid of them. So I guess it was last summer I started to locate the Midsummer characters in that kind of universe, and I realized I was finding a lot of ties with what I understood of the Dracula universe. And I kind of thought, well, gee, maybe I can just put these two things together. I found out that Bram Stoker's novel Dracula is actually in the public domain, and it was kind of at that moment that I thought, you know what, I'm going to do it. I'm going to mash them together. So what we have with the Nightmare Dream is a mashup using only text from A Midsummer Night's Dream and Dracula, and it's kind of both an homage of both works, and it's also an entirely new thing.
How does that work, Neil? You have Shakespeare's language interspersed with Bram Stoker's language.
Yes, I think it's a lot less jarring than you might think. I mean, the book is, you know, from the late 1800s, so there is a sense of sort of heightened language in it, and as you know, Midsummer is sort of, from a text standpoint, is pretty simple text, pretty simple verse. I think people who know Midsummer well will certainly recognize when it pops up.
Now, in writing this, did you drop any characters, or are all the characters from both sources present?
The character gallery is pretty much the Midsummer gallery, but they have obvious correlatives in the Dracula world. I would describe it as sort of the Midsummer story, but as if that story was bitten by Dracula, and it tumbles more into the Dracula realm as they go into the woods. But the characters, with the exception of Renfield, are all from Midsummer.
Ha ha ha, you kept Renfield.
I did. His closest relations in Midsummer are Puck and Bottom. He uses text from the two of them. As you know, Renfield is a servant of Dracula in a way, and Dracula, Oberon in this case, is our Dracula character. Titania and her fairies are his brides.
So, without getting into too many spoilers, does the Dracula angle have any implications on Bottom's transformation?
Well, let's just say there are a lot more transformations in this play.
Oh, how many of those take place in Act 3, Scene 2?
Well, you know, I did abandon sort of the act scene structure of Midsummer Night's Dream, but by the end of the Nightmare Dream, everyone is different. We'll just say that. Everyone has transcended.
Oh, that's fantastic. I am intrigued by one of the sentences in your press release, which reads, "No ruffled neck is safe in this, the original douchey teen vampire drama." Can you talk about that?
Yeah, we are well aware of how ubiquitous the vampire, and particularly the teen vampire, is in current pop culture. And, you know, when you think about it, we've got these four teen lovers in Midsummer Night's Dream sort of going off into the woods. And here they kind of meet an enemy that's a little different than the one Shakespeare intended.
Oh. And so in the production, in the rehearsal process, did you discover any difficulties or things that you hadn't foreseen?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, the point of this is meant to be fun and funny. So one of the things that's actually been quite enjoyable is finding the right level of, I mean, there is a good deal of parody, particularly of the Dracula. It's done in a, you know, a kind of a heightened melodramatic way. So finding the tipping point of the comedy as it relates to the two works has been a challenge, but I think we've come up with a lot of great stuff. It's really fun. It's really funny. And I think it's also very respectful of both works. I mean, I'm a Shakespeare guy. I love Shakespeare. And you probably laugh to hear me call myself a purist. Very much about the text and respecting the text and taking your clues from the text. So I hope and believe that we have done that while at the same time we've just taken it and it's somewhere completely different.
Neil, your cast, when they first started doing this, how did they approach it? What was their reaction to to your text, and was it difficult to get them on board?
I would say that most of them were like, what? and then I did a reading with a small group of friends who wound up being, you know, much of our cast back in February. And the reaction at the end of the reading was, you know what? This is weird, but it works. So my cast, there are a lot of folks that I know. I've got 11 in the cast. I would say 8 of them are people that I've worked with before. About half of those are out of a production of Candide I did at the Gallery Players in Brooklyn in 2010, which is similar. It was a brand new adaptation of Candide, similar style of sort of parody and fun. I'm working with my producer, Heather Curran, who was the artistic director at the Gallery Players for 12 years, and I worked with her there. I was the executive director for 3 years. We're excited to sort of renew our partnership on this show. We've got a great team of designers, Joey Hawes doing the costumes, Dan Jobbins doing the lights. It's a great team. I'm having a blast at rehearsal every night.
Well, you've definitely piqued our interest, Neil Freeman.
Well, Neil, this sounds very interesting. And Bloody Shakespeare is presenting The Nightmare Dream from August 11th to 18th at the theater at the 14th Street Y, which is 344 East 14th Street. And it is a part of the New York City International Fringe Festival.
Neil, how do people go about getting tickets for the Fringe Festival?
They can go to our website, bloodyshakespeare.com. They can also go to the Fringe website, which is fringenyc.org.
Neil, thanks so much for being our guest today on The State of Shakespeare.
Garrett and Jim, I appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
Thanks so much.